I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. My Savior, I come to thee. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
How do you explain? How do you describe a love that goes from east to west? Runs as deep as it is wide. words cannot express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. So listen to our hearts,
oh Lord, please listen.
Hear our spirits sing,
and hear us sing
a song of praise,
a simple song of praise.
From those you have redeemed, we will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love, so listen to our hearts. If words could fall like rain from these lips of mine, and if I had 1,000 years, Lord, I would still run out of time. If you listen to my heart, every beat will say, thank you for the life, thank you for the truth, and thank you for the way. So listen to our hearts,
oh Lord, please listen.
Hear our spirits sing,
and hear us sing
a song of praise,
a simple song of praise
from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are. But words are not enough to tell you of our love, so listen to our hearts. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, the anger of the enemy would have swallowed us alive. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, blessed be the Lord who will not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for his unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, the water would have engulfed us, we would have surely died. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, blessed be the Lord who would not give us up. Blessed be the Lord for his unfailing love. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the Lord.
Good morning. We're about to enter into celebrating the Lord's Supper. And we're glad that you can be with us, because Christians together everywhere celebrate in this momentous event. consider this statement for a moment, that God did not promise us any tomorrows, but he did promise eternity to us. As he directs in his Holy Scripture to take the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him, he addresses any tomorrows we might have and our eternity with him. Well, another thing I'd like for you to consider for just a moment, how can eating a small piece of bread and drinking a little fruit of the vine do that? Back in the Garden of Eden, an act of eating plunged the world into sin. Remembering that the celebration of the Lord's Supper is one of the most significant things Christians can do, followers of Christ proclaim that only in Jesus can we hope to receive forgiveness of our sins and grace to live as he did. We do this to remember all that Christ has done for us. Thinking about the past, of course, is nothing new, but in the Lord's Supper, Jesus gives his people a gift that does more than let us look back and remember. By proclaiming Jesus' death each time we celebrate the supper, we also look forward and upward as we declare the ongoing power of Jesus' death for his people today and forever. Jesus offers his people a new kind of memory. Our salvation begins in the past at the cross, but Christ continues to nourish believers with his crucified body and shed blood. Just as a daily meal gives us strength for our physical life, so also the regular celebration of Jesus' death and resurrection nourishes our spiritual life of all who have faith in Christ. This is the new covenant. Jeremiah 31:31 speaks of this. The promise of God to strengthen believers with himself so that they can serve him faithfully. Will this memory of Christ's death nourish you for worship and service in the new year? We pray that it will. God the Father condemns our sins. If we also condemn our own sin by confessing them, they will be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the Christian confessing his sin, he maintains that he has no sin. This is a lie that's often perpetrated on ourselves. Secondly, by doing this, he separates himself from the fellowship of God, which we never want to do. Our highest and only purpose in life is to love God with all of our being. And the second command is likened to this, that we love our neighbors as ourselves. Today we pray that you will use this time to confess your sins to the Father, knowing that he is faithful and righteous to forgive. Individually at this time, let us rededicate our lives to the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son. With this in mind, let us come together now and offer a prayer not only for the bread, but the fruit of the vine. Father, we assemble together today to share in your name. We ask that you forgive us of our sins and allow us to rededicate our lives to you for the good that you have done for us. We want to live by the example of Christ Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. All honor and glory and praise be to you now and forever. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.
Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. Shield about me, you're my glory, you're the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory, you're the lifter of my head.
Church, welcome to our services this morning with the Kanawha City Church of Christ. As always, we are so excited and very much appreciate the fact that you've decided to join us this morning for our time of worship and study together. Obviously, we would still love for us to be able to get together in person, but we're not quite to that point of being able to do that yet. And so we are grateful that we still have opportunities like this to be gathered together in spirit, still be able to worship together, and to have this time of communion together. This morning, we continue our series that we've been in, and I want to start by telling a story. A story is told about an encounter that someone had had with Queen Elizabeth. While at a reception that was where they were honoring the musician Sir Robert Mayer on his 100th birthday, an elderly British socialite named Lady Diana Cooper fell into a conversation with a friendly woman who seemed to know her quite well. And in her advanced stages of life, Lady Diana's eyesight was really beginning to fail her, so much so that she was unable to recognize who this woman was that she was holding this conversation with and had quite frankly gotten into quite deep conversation with. The more they talked, Lady Diana began to notice that this guest was wearing some exquisite jewelry, exquisite diamonds of quite high value. And it was only then that she realized who she was holding this conversation with. It was none other than Queen Elizabeth. ashamed and overcome with embarrassment because she hadn't shown her the proper respect, Lady Diana curtsied and began to stumble over her words. And finally, stringing together a few words into a sentence, she was able to apologize and say to the Queen, explain to the Queen that she just didn't recognize her because Queen Elizabeth was not wearing her crown. And it said that Queen Elizabeth's reply was this: "It was so much Sir Robert's evening that I decided to leave the crown behind." You see, Queen Elizabeth didn't want to draw attention to herself. Rather, she wanted the evening to be focused on Sir Robert Mayer and his 100th birthday celebration. In Genesis chapter 13, we read about Abram and his nephew Lot. And they've been traveling and they're now looking for a place to dwell. However, at this point, their possessions and their livestock are so great that the land couldn't support both of them together. They couldn't support them dwelling together. On top of that, tensions were beginning to rise between their respective herdsmen. And so in Genesis chapter 13, and beginning at verse 8, we read, "Then Abram said to Lot, 'Let there be no strife between you and me and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left.' And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other." You see, what's interesting about this story is that Abram is older. He's wealthier. He's Lot's uncle, and quite frankly, he's just more important. And he should have had his first choice of the land. But that's not what we read about happening. Instead, Abram gave Lot the first choice and told him that he would take whatever was left. Lot surveys the land and looks over everything that he sees, and he sees that the land in the Jordan Valley is as being the more choice area. And so he chose to go there. Abram had every right to take the best and just leave whatever was left over for Lot. But instead, he allowed Lot that opportunity to make that first choice, and that he would just take whatever was left. Two stories, one about Queen Elizabeth and her friend Sir Robert Mayer, the other about Abram and Lot. What do they have in common? What do we see as their similarity? What we see is that they are about people who are in higher and more important positions, humbling themselves in order to show preference and honor to another. You see, as we continue our series this morning on some of the one another passages of the New Testament, this week we're going to direct our focus on what it means to honor one another. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, we have this one another phrase used twice as Paul writes, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." I like this passage because once again, we see love for one another as kind of being at the root, at the core of this instruction to honor one another. You see, the Bible speaks quite often about this idea of showing honor to another. Here, Paul, writing to the brothers and the sisters in the Christian churches at Rome, commands them to show honor, to love one another, and to honor each other. However, throughout the Bible, we see several other instances, several other commands to show honor to others, especially to show honor to others in very specific positions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, Paul writes, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." This passage speaks of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. It speaks of God the Father who would send the Holy Spirit to us, who gave the Holy Spirit to us. And it speaks of God the Son who bought us with a price, who bought us at the price of his own death. And then he says, honor God. Honor God the Father, honor God the Son, honor God the Spirit with your bodies. In the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, we read that children are to honor your father and your mother. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, we're told of the honor that husbands are to show their wives. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Paul uses a slightly different word that carries a similar meaning in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33, when he writes to the wives and says, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. And so we see honor being shown within family relationships, children to parents, husbands to wives, and wives to husband. Concerning elders in the church, Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. You see, Paul here speaks of the double honor that's due to some elders, which carries with it the implication that honor is in fact due to all elders. And so far we have this command to honor God, to honor God the Father, honor God the Son, honor God the Holy Spirit. We have commands to show honor within the family, from children to parents, and between spouses. We've seen that the command to show honor to others, especially within the church and especially to elders. Now here's where it might begin to get a little bit tougher for us, because we're told to show honor in other areas of our life as well. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul writes, let all who are under a yoke as bondservants regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Paul writes essentially to slaves and tells them to honor their masters, and though not exactly the equivalent, the modern day application for this would be for employees, to honor their employers. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, Peter writes, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. Peter writes to honor the emperor. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. Peter and Paul both write of the honor that is due to the governing authorities. Peter writes very specifically of honoring the emperor. We are to honor, the application for us is that we are to honor our governing authorities and to honor very specifically the correlation for the emperor would be the president. And I feel like I need to say something more about this one just because it's a hot topic right now. It's something that is very heavy on our minds now with the inauguration of President Joe Biden this past week. First, let me say that I'm not trying in any way whatsoever to preach any type of partisan politics. This verse applies to President Joe Biden this week just as much as it did to President Donald Trump last week. And it will continue to apply to our president after the next election. It also needs to be recognized that this does not say honor them if they prove themselves honorable. When Peter wrote to honor the emperor, we need to understand that Nero was the emperor at the time. Nero is the emperor that Peter is writing about, saying you need to honor him. And I'll let you do your own research on Nero, but let me just say he wasn't a man that was known as being someone of great honor, of having all these wonderful traits about him. And yet Peter still wrote to honor him. And finally, one more thing I want to say about this. Peter says to honor the emperor, not to honor the office of the emperor. Paul said to be subject to the governing authorities, not to be subject to the offices of the governing authorities. You see, I've heard many say, and admittedly, I have said this myself before, I respect the position, but not the person in the position. Or I can honor the position, but not the person in the position. I can honor the office, but not the person who holds the office. It's got to be pointed out that this is not a Christian attitude. This is not the command that is given. As Christians, we are told to honor the person, not just the position or not just the office, even if they prove themselves to be dishonorable. As a matter of fact, we look back at all of these areas where we are commanded to show honor to another. And let's especially focus on those that are our earthly relationships. Let's remove the one that talks about honoring God, Father, Son, Spirit. I don't think there's any question, any debate within any of us that God is worthy of honor. But let's talk about the rest of these relationships. We are told to honor our parents. We are told to honor our spouses. We are told to honor the elders. We're told to honor our employers. We're told to honor authorities. And we're told to honor everyone. And as we look back at each one of these, it needs to be recognized that not a single one of these commands is conditional. Not a single one of them says, honor them if they deserve to be honored. It's not written to husbands, honor your wife if she proves to be honorable. It's not written to wives to honor or to respect your husband. I think respect was what we said was the word that was used there that was similar to honor. It's not said to honor your husband if he proves to be honorable. Children aren't told to determine whether or not your parents are honorable and then decide if you're going to honor them. We're not told to look at others and decide whether or not they're honorable and then determine if we're going to honor them. Like I said, these are not conditional commands. We are told to honor everyone. Our role is not to determine who is deserving of honor. Our role is to honor everyone, period. Now let's return to our beginning passage in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. We read it a few minutes ago from the New International Version, which says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. This verse is actually kind of tricky in the way that it translates and the way that it comes over into the English. And so several translations word it differently. I want us to consider some of these other readings. The New Living Translation writes, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. The King James Version says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. The Contemporary English Version says, love each other as brothers and sisters, and honor others more than you do yourself. That one kind of stings a little bit. Honor others more than you do yourself. The New English Translation Bible says, be devoted to one another with mutual love, showing eagerness in honoring one another. The Message reads, be good friends who love deeply. And it says, practice playing second fiddle. And finally, the English Standard Version, which is the version that I normally preach from, that I'm normally reading from, says, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. So you can see that there are several different kind of renderings, different approaches to translating this verse. And this is important for us to recognize because there's a certain nuance in this verse that it's important for us to catch, important for us to understand. You see, we have looked at several different areas, several different places and positions in life where honor is to be shown towards another. In fact, we see that honor is to be shown to everyone. And it becomes really easy for us as we're listening to this, as we're reading through this, and as we scan over this list of all of these people, all these positions that are to be honored, and discover situations where we're the one in position, where we're the one who's due honor, and feel like maybe we've not been honored like we should have been. If that is how we are understanding this, and if that's how we are viewing this, then we are reading Romans chapter 12 and verse 10 wrong. You see, the nuance that we need to see in this verse is maybe most clearly seen in the Young's literal translation of the Bible. And it reads, in the love of brethren, to one another kindly affectioned, in the honor, going before one another. Or as the English Standard Version puts it, outdo one another in showing honor, not in seeking honor. You see, it's kind of the idea of the golden rule of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's taking that first step and being the one who is going before the other, taking that first step to show honor to others. You see, this passage, this Romans chapter 12, verse 10 passage, is not our justification to receive honor. This passage is not our way of proving that we deserve to be honored. Should we be honored? Yes, because we are part of the everyone that we are told to honor. But this is not our way of justifying that. This is not our way of seeking that out. This passage, this Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, is our unconditional command to honor one another, to honor everyone. And so how do we do this? You see, let's just be honest about it for a second. Some people just do not conduct themselves in honorable ways, and yet we're still told to honor them. How do we do that? Let me begin with this one suggestion. We look for the good in everyone. You see, if absolutely nothing else, every human being is made in the image of God. Every human being is made in the image of God and has been deemed worthy of the atoning sacrifice of Christ. That alone in them is deserving of respect and is deserving of honor. However, I still believe that if we work hard enough and we look long enough, we can find the honorable in everyone. And so I want us to begin by looking for the good, looking for the honorable, looking for the value, looking for that which is worthy of honor in everyone, and keep looking until we find it. The second thing that I want to suggest in our commitment to honor everyone is that we need to have a good understanding of what it means to honor someone. You see, honor means to recognize the worth of somebody else, but not just to recognize the worth of somebody else. It also means to express that worth. You see, it's not simply to recognize the worth in somebody, but it's also to find a way to properly express that and to celebrate that value. You see, it's to humble ourselves in order to raise up somebody else. You see, just as Queen Elizabeth did for Sir Robert Mayer, and just as Abram did for Lot, Paul said it this way in Philippians 2 and verse 3, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." You see, to honor somebody is to find the value in them, and then to put ourselves in the humble position to where we can celebrate that value, to where we can honor them by recognizing that value and that worth in them. It's to celebrate who they are and what they mean. And so to honor somebody is not simply to recognize that, but it's also to show them that honor. As we think about this idea of humbling ourselves, I want us to be reminded of the contemporary English version of Romans 12 and verse 10 that says, "Honor others more than you do yourself." Let's just be honest about it. We're a bit selfish sometimes. And if we're going to be honest, we don't really have a hard time finding the good in ourselves. We don't really have a hard time finding our value. Sometimes we might struggle with that a little bit, but I think it's we can find our value, and we want to honor our value, but we're told here to honor others more than we do ourselves. You see, once again this week, I think it's important. I think we need to recognize that we all have a need to love others, and we all have a need to be loved. We all have a need to serve others, and we all have a need to be served. And we all have a need, yes, to be honored, but we also have a need to honor others. And once again, this week, I believe that if we make it our commitment to show honor to others, then we're not going to have to worry about if we'll receive honor in return. If we prove ourselves to be people who go to great lengths to humble ourselves and to honor others, then I believe honor will be returned to us. And so let's not concern ourselves with our own honor. Let's humble ourselves in order to celebrate others and in order to show them honor. And so with this focus for honoring others, I want to leave us with two tasks, two kind of challenges for us to take on this week. First, I want us to find one person that we can truly honor this week. That is not just that we recognize their worth, but we also find a way to express that worth to them. So I want us each to find somebody to truly honor. And who I have in mind here is probably somebody that you already have good relationship with, that you already respect, that you already kind of recognize their value and their worth. And I'm just simply challenging each one of us to take that next step and find a way to celebrate that. Find a way to recognize and to show them that we do see their value and that we do see their worth, and we want to honor that. And so the first challenge, the first task is that we find somebody that we can recognize their worth and express that worth to them. The second one is a little bit more difficult. And I'm going to let us cut it a little bit short just because of the way that this sets up. It might be a little bit more difficult. It might take a little bit more time. But the second is, I want us to find someone who we have truly struggled to honor. Maybe they've proven themselves dishonorable. Maybe we've had a hard time seeing their value. Maybe they've done things that have just really rubbed us the wrong way, and we are just really struggling to respect them. I want us each to find at least one person that we have struggled ourselves to honor, and I feel certain that we can all think of at least one. And I want us to spend some time this week focusing on this person, putting this person above ourselves, looking long enough and hard enough at this person until we can find the good, until we can find their value, until we can find their worth. And then as it proves opportunity to do so, let's celebrate the good in that person and find the way to recognize them. You see, church, I'm convinced that if we continue to take on these one another passages and these one another commands seriously, and as we begin to live not for ourselves, but as we live for one another, then we can be great examples, great beacons of light to the world in ways that will change the world by showing the world what it means to love one another and showing the world what it means to serve one another and showing the world what it means to honor one another. And so let's be that beacon of light, and let's find ways to honor one another this week. Let's pray together. Holy Father, we come before you as God the Father, as God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and we honor you, Father. We recognize your extreme value and worth and in our lives and everything that you have done for us. And Father, we wish to lay down our lives as living sacrifices in an attempt to honor you in the best way that we can. Father, help us to live lives that honor you. And Father, as we live in this world, as your light to this world, as your image in this world, Father, help us to find ways to love others and to serve others, and help us to find ways to honor others. Help us to look at each other and to see the good, to see the value, to see what you see. Help us to see the value in others as you see them, and help us to honor them. Father, we pray for all of these different people that we've talked about. We pray for one another. We pray for the church. We pray for our leaders. We pray for our elders. We pray for our president. We pray for our government leaders. We pray for our family, for our spouses, for our children, for our parents. Father, we pray for each other, and we lift one another up, and we honor the value that you have placed on each human being as you've created them within your image. and you've sent your Son to redeem them to yourself, to redeem us, to redeem me to yourself. Father, help us to honor that in one another. We love you so much, Father, and it's through the name of your Son and the power of the Holy Spirit that we pray. Amen.
At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue confess. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow at his name. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue confess. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow at his name.
There is no other name.
There is no other name.
No name by which we're saved.
No name by which we're saved.
There is no other name.
There is no other name but Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue confess. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow at his name. Every knee shall bow at his name. Every knee shall bow.